From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says the center of Afrin is entirely under the control of Turkish and allied Syrian forces and that Turkish flags have been raised over the town. The Reuters news agency reports that a spokesman for Turkish-backed Syrian rebel fighters said earlier that the rebels had entered Afrin before dawn Sunday and that Kurdish YPG forces had withdrawn. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said Saturday that more than 150,000 people had been displaced in Afrin since Wednesday. Turkish warplanes and artillery are reported to have struck the town overnight. Meanwhile, in eastern Ghouta, Russian media reported at least 20,000 people fled the region from Damascus Sunday. Elections experts say that Russian President Vladimir Putin faces no real challenge in elections being held this Sunday and that he's likely to retain the position he's held for many years.
I mean, even Russian commentators are saying that not only will Mr. Putin be endorsed for another 6 years in what is being called an election, but really is, you know, a formalized voting procedure, a kind of ritual, but that he's likely to stay on until the end of his days, because to leave power in Russia, as Russian history shows, is very, very risky. In the whole history of Russia, only four Russian leaders have left power peacefully and alive.
Kyle Wilson is a former Australian diplomat to Russia and is now a visiting fellow at the Australian National University. Putin's closest rival was opposition leader Alexei Navalny, but he was disqualified from running in the election. He was convicted for embezzlement and jailed back in December. Find more at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Pakistan has conveyed to the leadership in Afghanistan its opinion that the Taliban are left with no excuse or justification for continuing war following Kabul's offer of unconditional peace talks. The Taliban has not yet publicly responded to the offer, but there's speculation the insurgents are weighing whether or not to come to the negotiating table, according to Pakistan officials. South Korean media said Sunday a senior North Korean diplomat is headed to Finland to meet with former U.S. diplomats after a North Korean delegation wrapped up 3 days of talks with Swedish. This all could lead to a possible meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Meanwhile, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan met with South Korea's foreign minister to discuss all this.
I'm thrilled to welcome her here to the department as we continue our ongoing discussions on many interests, many issues of mutual interest, and continuing to forge the strong bonds that we have between the United States and South Korea.
President Trump reaffirmed his plan to meet by the end of May with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to negotiate Pyongyang's nuclear program, the White House said Friday. In a phone call with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, Mr. Trump expressed cautious optimism over recent developments regarding North Korea. Former FBI Director, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who has been criticized publicly for months by President Donald Trump and was fired late Friday by the Attorney General, has kept detailed memos of his interactions with the president, according to media reports. In a statement late Friday, McCabe called his first and firing retribution, saying, "I'm being singled out and treated this way because of the role I played, the actions I took, and the events I witnessed in the aftermath of the firing of former FBI Director James Comey, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigating Russian influence in the 2016 U.S. presidential election, and whether there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia." Police in the state of Florida believe that they have recovered all of the bodies of the victims from the wreckage of a pedestrian bridge that collapsed last week over a busy highway. Five bodies were pulled from the wreckage Saturday. Another victim died in the hospital after the collapse. The $14.2 million bridge was set to open next year. It spanned eight lanes of traffic and a canal to give students of Florida International University an easy crossing to the community of Sweetwater, where many of them live. A student was struck by a vehicle and killed last year while walking across the highway. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.